In that tremendous, challenging hymn, "Work, for the night is coming when man's work is done." Let's open the Bible together, please, in the book of Luke's Gospel, and the chapter is the chapter number 5, the 5th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel. Let's look to the Lord as we would open the Scriptures together, praying that God will once again challenge us through His precious and His infallible Word. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, commencing to read at verse number 1. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he should cast out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answered and said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the partners, or the sons of Zebedee, and were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to meet with us today. Heavenly Father, we desire nothing of man, but we want to hear thy voice. We desire not the oratory of man, because, O God, it would fail. But we thank thee for that all-speaking voice of a sovereign God. And we cry unto thee this morning that thou wilt come and speak to us. That thou wilt challenge my heart as I open the Scriptures. That thou wilt challenge the hearts of this congregation. Help us, our God, to realize that the day is far spent. And the night of opportunity is nearly past. O God, or the day of opportunity is past, the night's at hand. We pray that we might go out into the harvest field and work. For the night is coming, when man's work is done. So to this end, we cry unto thee, bless us, challenge your heart, speak to us. O God, take us from this house today, those who profess thy name, to live lives that will glorify Jesus. Help us, our God, to be winners of souls, for he that winneth souls is wise. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last Lord's Day morning, as we gathered here in the house of God in our study, we said that we would look at two important issues for those who are desiring to be soul winners or witnesses effectively for the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Lord's Day morning, we asked the question, what kind of person must we be to be used of God in soul winning and in witnessing? And we give the answer, and there was a sevenfold little answer that we give, and yet very solemn answer. We need, first of all, to be persons of purity. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And then we noted that we needed to be people of power, of prayer. We need to spend time at the throne of grace. We need to spend time in the Savior's presence, seeking his face, asking for his blessing, and imploring the Lord to come and make us soul winners, to make us the people that God really wants us to be. in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice thirdly, we need to be people of preparation. Because if we're going out to reach souls, we need to have prepared hearts. And of course, we need to study the Word. Meditate upon the blessed infallible truth and be able to give the answer concerning the faith and hope that lies within our hearts. We need to be prepared. We need to have preparation of heart. We need to be people of passion. Oh, that God would give us a passion for souls. That God would give us an earnest desire, a burden for the lost. That as we look at men and women that are going and traveling down the road of time to eternity, that we might realize that these are precious, precious souls. We may never have the opportunity of reaching them again. So therefore it's so important that we work while it is day. So therefore we need to be people of passion. But friend, to do all that, we need to be people of power. Because of ourselves, without me, you can do nothing. And isn't it a tragedy that so many people think that all you've got to do, or all that a preacher needs to do, is just stand up and just open the book, and somehow that's all the people need, and spend a little moment around the Word of God. Friend, we need the power of God to present the Word of God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And that is the power that you need, friends, the power of the Holy Spirit. And ye shall receive power. Thank God, your earthly Father, if he knows how to give good gifts unto his children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? And every time the preacher steps into the pulpit, every time a young man steps behind the microphone to preach the Word of God in the open air, he needs the power of God. He needs the power of God himself. So we need to be people of power. We also need to be something else, friend. We need to be preachers and people of principle. And we said we need a humble spirit. We need an honorable sincerity. And we need a heartfelt surrender. People of principle. To stand for the truth of God. And then lastly, we said we need to be people of patience. Waiting for the harvest. Got to be willing to let the Lord do his work. Sometimes, you know, whenever we go out to serve the Lord, we think that somehow, why, the fish have got to be brought into the net right now, right now. Let me tell you, friend, what you and I have got to do is obey the Lord right now. You leave the salvation to the Lord, because salvation belongs unto the Lord. You be faithful in that task which God has given you and me. Be faithful in your witnessing. Be faithful in your soul winning, going out to reach precious souls. The tragedy is this, that many are not out after souls. No time for soul winning. What kind of a person must I be to be used of God in soul winning and in witnessing? But we said secondly, what kind of a person must the Lord make me to be an effective witness and soul winner for Christ? What kind of a person must the Lord make me? And how will God make me into the person that God wants me to be as a soul winner? Somebody said, you know, you're either a missionary or you're a mission field. And friend, let me tell you, you're either a soul winner and doing what God wants you to do, or you're being disobedient to the Master himself. Preacher once said, the easiest way to embarrass a congregation of Christians is to ask them two simple questions. The first one is this: when was the last time that you personally led another person to Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you led somebody to Jesus? Child of God, you've got to be a soul winner. And you say to me, but that's not for me. Friend, it is for you. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And every child of God has to be a soul winner. Every child of God has to have a desire to be a soul winner. That should be the earnest prayer of your heart. Oh God, make me a soul winner. Not simply the preacher, not simply the assistant, not simply the Sunday school teachers. Every child of God says, hey, God, make me a soul winner. He said the first question is asked them, when was the last time you personally led another person to Jesus Christ? And he said then the second question is this. When is the last time you tried? When was the last time you tried to win somebody for Christ? When was the last time you sought to really do something to win some soul for the Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, some of these days you're going to be called out to stand before God and give an account of your stewardship. What will you have to say? What's your answer to the Master? The end of a life, and you say you've been living it for Christ. You have to say, I've never tried to win a soul for Jesus. I've never sought to be a soul winner. I've never sought to bring a loved one to Jesus Christ. What an awful indictment if that's true, friend. Would you say, preacher, how can I be a soul winner? I want to show you that very simply this morning. Let's turn in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And when you come to that passage of the Lord's Word, let me tell you, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was always concerned about individuals. Now, it's true, he preached to great crowds, but his message was always to the individual. The Lord's desire was to change, to transform lives, and then to send them out to share the message of salvation with others. In Luke chapter 5, we read, and then we also read the story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. But those two stories are not parallel. We read two different passages, and they're not the same story, and yet there are similarities there. Because in Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter 1, that gives us an account of Peter and Andrew, and they were busy fishing. Here we find in Luke chapter 5, they have fished all night, but they have caught nothing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ enlisted Peter and Andrew and James and John. And you'll find that they traveled with the Savior through Capernaum and also through Galilee. And then they went back to their trade. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 5, he is calling Peter to a lifetime of full-time surrender and service of discipleship, of following him. I read this. It said, every pulpit ought to be a fishing boat because we're fishing for souls every time that we enter into the pulpit. Now, let's look at the story, Luke chapter 5. First of all, notice the challenge here, the challenge. The Bible tells us here that the people pressed upon the Lord Jesus to hear the word of God. You see, this was a time of the Savior's popularity. And so there was a great crowd of people, and they pressed upon the Lord as he stood there by the lake of Gennesaret. And Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And Jesus entered into one of the ships, and it was Simon's ship, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and Jesus sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, in a way, that day, Peter was a captive audience. And there, as the Lord Jesus spake to that multitude, I believe that the Lord was working in Peter's heart, because the Word of God says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And there we find that the Lord then says to Peter, he says, I want you to launch out into the deep, and I want you to let down your nets. And he's going to exercise some of the faith that the Savior has been talking about in his own personal life. Did you notice the first instruction was simply this? Notice what the Lord Jesus said in verse 3. He said to Simon, he prayed him that he would thrust out a little. That's all that he needed to do.
But my friend, the next instruction was not to thrust out a little. Look at verse number 4. He says, Simon, launch out into the deep. He's now going further. And we find that the Lord is directing Simon here, this experienced fisherman. And first of all, you see, all the Lord wanted him to do was to go far enough to let Jesus use the boat as the pulpit. That's what they talked. The pulpit is always to be fishing, is to be a fishing boat. Fishing for souls. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, he says, just go a little, thrust out a little, Simon. Let me say this, my friend. He said, thrust out a little, and then he said, launch out into the deep. Listen, if he hadn't been obedient the first time, he'd have missed the second blessing. Because if he hadn't have launched out, if he had not have thrust out the little from the land and been obedient to the master, then he wouldn't have obeyed the master when he said, launch out into the deep. You know, sometimes maybe you think that the command the Lord's given you is too insignificant. It's not really important enough for us. Let me tell you, friend, if that's what the Lord wants you to do, do it. Little as much when God's in it. If all the Lord wants you to do is just thrust out a little, then in God's name be willing to do it. You see, you know that the task is too menial. The task is too unimportant. It wouldn't be important enough for me. Let me tell you, my friend, if God can't trust you with thrusting out just a little, he'll not trust you to launch out into the deep. Be willing to go with God no matter where he sends you, whatever he tells you to do. You see, it was the place of his direction. And that first challenge there was an act of obligation. He was obliged. He was obligated to do it. Thrust out a little. And then he said, launch out into the deep. Probably at that moment, you see, friend, to be honest, it was an inconvenient moment. Because the Bible tells us that the fishermen had gone out of their ships and they were washing their nets. And yet the Lord says, he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. But sure, they were washing them. It was inconvenient. You know, some people say, it's too inconvenient for me to do anything. It would be inconvenient for me on Tuesday night to go out on the doors. That really would be an inconvenience, preacher. You see, I have planned on Tuesday night to have, there's a show on the television, and I just really think that, well, you see, I'm following it, and I really want to see the next episode. It would just be inconvenient. And friend, that's the tragedy. Many of God's people play around with souls like that. I'll tell you something else. It was not only inconvenient, it was irrational, because they had been out fishing all night and had caught nothing. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them to go out when it is day and to launch out into the deep and to put down the net for a draft. For a draft. And maybe you think, you know, that some of the things the Lord tells you to do, it just seems to be irrational. You know, some people think it's irrational. What would you go to Tunbridge for? And stand in the middle of Tunbridge and have an open air. Sure, that would be irrational. Or what would you go to Balaki for or Gulladuff? Sure, there are no free Presbyterians there. I want to tell you this, my friend. God didn't send me to free Presbyterians. God said, go into all the world. You get your eyes lifted up. Lift your eyes to the Lord, and I'll tell you this. Once you get your eyes on him, I'll tell you, he'll give you a greater burden. And God can change lives. God can change lives. You know, a wee man came to me, and I was there preaching the word of God, and we were singing in Dykehead. And that wee man came up to me, and he said, listen, he says, Mr. McRae, I want to tell you, I heard more gospel tonight. I've been going to church. He says, I've been going to the Covenanter Church for years. And he said, I heard more gospel tonight than I haven't heard in all those years. Friend, that's an indictment. What a sad reality. And there are men and women, let me tell you, and they've never heard the gospel. And there are people coming to this church Sunday after Sunday. And friend, you know the gospel. You know the ABC of the gospel. Remember Willie Paul standing at my door one night, and Sandy was the policeman. And Willie Paul was standing at the door, and people, you know, laughed at Willie. Let me tell you this. Willie said this, and during sitting down there, Willie said this. Listen, the gospel's as simple as ABC, Sandy. He says, A, accept you're a sinner. He says, B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. C, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Standing on my doorstep, ABC of the gospel. Could you have said that? Could you tell somebody that, friend? ABC of the gospel of redeeming grace. There are men and women have never heard it once. And yet we take it for granted. We hear it every Sunday. And sad to see men and women leave the house of God without Jesus Christ and turn their back on the gospel. And that wee man heard it. He said, I've heard more gospel than I've heard in my lifetime. And thank God he received Christ. He said, I called on him tonight. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a challenge, friend. An act of obligation, first of all. But then notice what Jesus said. He said, not only launch out into the deep, verse 4, but he says, let down your nets. Not only an act of obligation, there's an act of expectation. Because he says, let down the nets for a draft. Let down your net for a draft. He wasn't mocking them, friend. He says, I want to tell you, you let down your nets, you let them down for a draft. Expect. Do you expect God to bless you? Whenever you present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you expecting a blessing? To be honest, let's be quite honest, friend. You know, when God saves precious souls, some people are surprised. Imagine God saving them. What are we surprised about, friend? Isn't that what God does? Isn't he mighty to save? Why is it that we have lost the expectation? I want to tell you this. Whenever we came to this church and started the church in the hill, and with the old wee wooden hall, and we're coming up there then into the tin tabernacle, let me tell you, friend, every Sunday we expected somebody to be saved. We were just wondering, who would it be? Who would it be? And there are people that are scattered all over this wee province of ours. And thank God, no matter where I go, people say, I was saved in the hell, you know. They just came to visit and God saved them. Changed their lives. We woman sat, well, it came to me in Fraserburgh on Friday night, and she said to me, Mr. McRae, I just want to tell you, you don't know this, but I was saved through one of your records or one of your tapes. I give my life to Christ and I'm gloriously saved. Are you expecting God to bless, friend? Is it any wonder that the Lord doesn't give you a blessing? If you're not expecting God to move, you see, he said this. He said, let down your nets and expect the draft. Expect God to do something. God says, through the foolishness of preaching, he'll save them that believe. It was an act of obligation. It was an act of expectation. Notice verse 5, not only the challenge, notice the cry. And Simon answering said unto him, Master. Now the word there, Master, translated, it means someone in authority or chief commander. In other words, you're in control. Friend, I want to tell you, if you want God to bless you, you let God be the chief commander. Don't think that you and I are the important ones here. He's the master. And you've got to humble yourself before God. And you've got to be willing to let the Lord use you. You know, the amazing thing was this. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was a carpenter, and yet it was the master, he said, launch out into the deep, and you'll get a big draft there. Draft of fishes. And he wasn't a fisherman at all. But he was the master in control. And you've got to obey him, friend, and let the Lord do the leading, and let the Lord do the getting. The amazing thing was this. The Lord Jesus saw two ships there, sitting by that shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord Jesus entered into Simon's ship. And notice what he did. He took control of the captain, and he took control of the crew. He took over. I want to tell you, if you're not willing to let the Lord take over, friend, don't expect the blessing. Don't expect the fish. You know the main problem in the service of the Lord? It's you and me. Because quite often, we're the obstacles. We're just not willing to let him take complete control. He knows exactly where to lead us. He knew the right place, friend. He says, launch out into the deep. And you know, whenever Simon heard that, he said, Master, we have toiled all night and we've taken nothing. Really was saying, you know, Master, this seems impossible. You're telling us to go out into the deep and let down the nets. Well, this is impossible. You know, friends, let me tell you. When God sends you to some soul, don't you think that that soul's a hopeless case? That person's God's opportunity. With God, all things are possible. Don't you think that that soul's impossible? You say, well, they're hard. I've spoken to them many times, and they're as hard as nail. They're as hard as old leather. All right, friend. Let the Lord break them. Let the Lord break them. Let the Lord take control. Don't you see people as hopeless cases? I've told you the story before about the boy who went out to Africa, and he was told to sell shoes. And he sent home in a week's time, he says, you know, this mission's a mission impossible. Nobody wears shoes. Take me home. Sent another man out to represent the company. And he sent a telegram in a week's time. Send more shoes. Possibilities everywhere. See the difference, friend? See, there's no use going to that man. She won't listen. Friend, let me tell you. He mightn't listen to you. But you yield your talent to the Holy Ghost, and I'll tell you, God can make him listen. God can. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible if we only believe. You know, five words of a dying church. We have done that before. What's the use? We have done that before. What's the use of standing in the open air? See, we've done that before. And see, nobody listens. We're on the doorsteps. We're knocking the doors. We've done that before. Sure, nobody's coming in. Well, friend, to tell you the truth, if that's the way you go to them on the doorsteps, not a bit of wonder they don't come in. For if you're going as miserable as anything, see, you wouldn't bring anybody anywhere. You need joy in your heart. And I'll tell you where you get joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You have the blessed anointing of the Spirit of God and the power of God in your life. And I'll tell you this. He'll give you joy in your heart. in the service of the King, because you'll see possibilities everywhere. Every soul's a possibility. But the saving them's in the hand of God. And I hear somebody else saying, Master, we've toiled in. You know the old phrase, oh, I'm not cut out for that. You ever heard that? Oh, preacher, I'm not cut out for that. What are you cut out for then, friend? What do you think the Lord has saved you for? To be silent? Leave it to somebody else? Be honest before God. That's how many of God's people live their lives. They're not cut out for it. I can't do it. I want to tell you, friend, if you're doing it in the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God and in the power of God, I'll tell you, God will give you the power you need to do the job. He'll give you the talent to fulfill it. And they cry. I'm glad one thing, friend. I'm glad one thing. These boys had fished all night. Now, these were experienced fishermen. And they'd fished all night, and they were back in again, and they were washing their nets. Thank God they didn't sell them. There's a lot of boys after they've fished a night, and they get so discouraged, and they get so downhearted, they're about to sell the nets. What's the use? See, nobody listens anyhow. He said, Master, yes, you're the chief commander. You have taken control. He said, this nevertheless at thy word, he said. Master, we have fished, we have toiled all night, we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I let down the net. Then look at verse 6 very quickly. Notice the catch. Verse number 6, it says, and when they had this done, in other words, they let down the net, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. But I tell you, they had to launch out first. They had to be obedient. They had to go where the Lord directed them. And they had to do what the Lord said. And when Peter moved to the deep waters, friend, something happened that he never experienced as an experienced fisherman. It never happened before. He got such a draft of fishes that the net break. It never happened before. Listen, don't rely on your own knowledge, friend. Be willing to obey God's command. Just fully obey the Master's leading. And just as God brought the animals into the ark, Noah didn't go out, you know, to collect the 2x2s and bring them into the ark. Sometimes you see pictures and it's Noah going and his son's going out and sort of nearly capturing the animals and bringing them, driving them into the ark. Friend, that's not true. God brought the animals into the ark to Noah. You see, salvation's of the Lord. We're talking about God's work. But we have to be obedient. We have to be willing servants of the Master. Now it says this. And here's the sad thing. Verse number 4, it said, Jesus said, let down the nets. Look at verse 6. Or verse 5. At thy word, I will let down the net. And then it says the net break. The Lord didn't tell Peter to let down the net, friend. He told him to let down the nets. But Peter's faith was weak. He couldn't see what God could do. You see, he had remembered he had fished all night and he had caught nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And the Lord directs him. Sad to say, unbelief was in Peter's heart. And he let down the net. God, forgive us for our unbelief. Let me tell you, friend, People say there's no use. We're living in the end times, and your people's that hard, nobody will be saved. You're not ready for God moving, friend. You're not ready for to be used of God. You're not even ready to let down the net, never mind the nets. And the net break. But very quickly, notice not only the challenge and the cry and the catch. Go to verse 7. Notice the cooperation. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. You know, God could have directed those fish to the shore. But God was pleased to use Peter and the partners. And let me tell you, God did save people without you and me. But God has ordained to save men and women through his servants, through his witnesses. And what a blessing comes, you know, whenever we are willing to be used of God. But notice, it says they beckoned on to their partners, and thank God, it says, and they came. What a blessing when people have the same mind. And the same goal, and the same spirit, and the same desire. And they were working in one accord. That's when the blessing comes. You see, the partners, when they called, they didn't say, need me bringing us into that. You fished all night and you got nothing. We're not going to bother. No, they came, and they filled both the ships. Are you a willing partner in the work of God, friend? Let me tell you. Are you willing to work with others? Have you the same mind? Are you willing to be of one accord? Or do you just want to be out there on your own? You don't want to be associated with anybody? Don't want to work with God's people here in the hill to serve the Lord and to bring souls to Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, what a blessing when people are of one accord. One heart and one mind. Cooperation. Then notice the contrition. Verse 8. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh God. Let me tell you something, friend. I've had preached the word of God for many years. And I'll tell you something God will not use. God will not use proud, arrogant people as soul winners. They're no use in the work of God. God says, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. And here, Peter, let me tell you, when he saw the two boats, and remember he had fished all night, this experienced fisherman. And he and his colleagues and his crew had fished all night and they caught absolutely nothing. And just one word from the master, launch out into the deep. You see, he obeyed the Lord in the little thing, thrust out little. And he obeyed God. And having heard the master in that boat that day, God gave him a great gift of faith. And the Lord said to him, launch out into the deep. And even though Peter could think it was irrational, even though it was inconvenient, all of these things, he said, nevertheless, at thy command. And he let down the net. And then he beckoned the others. And when he saw that God can do, when he saw what the Lord could do, he fell down at Jesus' feet. He said, I am a sinful man. Oh Lord. Friend, I want to tell you, it's no secret what God can do. When you read the stories of the past, the days of revival of the past, listen, isn't God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Do you think of 2010 that somehow God's lost his power? That somehow God's lost it? Or do you really believe that he's the same God? The God of the impossible? You believe that the master that we're preaching and presenting is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's still able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And when he saw what God had done, it says, verse 9, he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. I want to tell you, God will surprise you. If you go through with God, friend, I'll tell you, if you and I go through with God as a congregation, if we mean business with God, I'll guarantee you, God means business with us. And God will bless us. And God can use us again in a powerful way, that every service we come to will come with a spirit of expectancy, waiting for God to save someone again, for God to bless. And then notice verse 10, the call. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. Simon, don't be afraid. Listen, from henceforth, from now on, he says, you'll be a fisher of men. Thou shalt catch men. Know what the Lord did that day? He brought him back to the first day he met him. We read it in Matthew chapter 4. How will we become fishers of men, friend? What's the secret? What's the secret? What has the Lord got to do to make us the person? Listen to me carefully. What's the secret of fishing here? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. You've got to follow Christ. And that speaks to me of dedication. We must be separated unto Christ. Follow me. And what he was saying to them was this: you've got to leave other things behind. Follow me. I want to tell you, friend, worldly Christians do not convert this world. And if you and I march with the enemies, the armies of the enemies of Jesus Christ, you'll not be able to defeat them. People say to me, preacher, tell me, why has the church so little influence in the world? I'll tell you, because the world has so much influence in the church. That's what's wrong. People are crying out, why is it that the church is so powerless and little influence in the world? Because sad to say, the world has got so much influence and power in the life of the child of God. The pull of the world. I know time's away this morning, but I beg you in God's name, I say this to our young people, don't desire to look like the world. Don't desire to ape the world in your appearance, in your dress, and your makeup. In God's name, you're different. You're different. You're a child of God. Follow me, says Jesus. And friend, if you're going to follow him, that means you're separated unto him. And things that our forefathers died at the stake for today, sad, and days gone by, sad today, it's tolerated. And we must resolve before God, no matter what others do, we're going to follow Jesus. We sing the wee chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm not going back. I'll tell you, if you're going to follow him, friend, then you've got to separate yourself unto him, and then you have to abide with him. In other words, live in fellowship with him. Daily association with him. Spend time with him in the secret closet. Spend time with him around his word. Spend time with him in prayer. Spend time in fellowship with him. Abide with Jesus, And then very quickly, that's the dedication. Here's the transformation. He says, if you follow me, he says, I will make you. He says, I'll make you. And you know, it's only the Lord that can transform our lives. Soul winners are not self-made men and women. It's only the Lord Jesus can make us fishers of men. He said, follow me and I'll make you. You want to be a blessing, friend? Then God's willing to make you something. Notice here is finally the progression. I will make you fishers of men. Do you know many Christians find something else to do other than fishing? Many Christians have a greater desire to simply make the world better. Friend, let me tell you, making the world better for people to go to hell from, is that what we're talking about? There are those who will give their time even to beautifying the house of God, but forget there to be winners of souls. I read this. God has called us to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. And there's a lot of people who are just keepers of the aquarium. And they don't launch out into the deep. Follow me, says Jesus. You've got to follow Jesus, friend. Are you willing to go with God all the way, friend? A soul winner is one who never gets used to the sound of marching feet on a way, on the way to a Christless hell. Oh, may God help us to be fishers of men. Follow me, says Jesus. Peter, you've seen what I can do. I sent you out there to a place that you thought was inconvenient, you thought was, you know, irrational. And look what it did. I filled not only your boat, but I filled your friend's boat as well. He says, Peter, you see, from today, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. May God give us that desire today. And may we let the Lord make us into what he wants us to be, for Jesus' sake. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts. Thou knowest, our God, the need of every man and every woman in the service today. Thou knowest those that are thine. And Lord, perhaps there are those in their hearts, they know they haven't been doing a lot for you. They've been leaving it to somebody else, and yet you saved them to serve. And one day they give account. Ah, the day of opportunity is quickly passing, Lord. And the night's at hand when no man can work. Help us to be up and about our master's business. Make us a winner of souls. Oh God, when we step into the pulpit, when we knock the door, when we invite someone, give us the spirit of expectancy. Expecting God to work. Lead us to the right people. Lead us to the right place. Help us to be willing to do the insignificant, thrusting out a little. Help us, our God, when you tell us to launch out into the deep. Help us to gladly do it at thy command. Nevertheless, at thy command, help us to let down the nets. In Jesus' name. Amen.